Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Praise the Lord. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We know that there is the word from the Lord for you, and we're excited about what God is doing. I'm telling you, this holiday season, we're starting to see miracles, signs, and wonders manifest. There are some things that have occurred and are occurring. And we're just excited about the fact that God has chosen to use us as key instruments in what he's doing today. How about you? You know, God has a plan and a design for your life, and we have to get to the assignment he's given us so we can complete that and we can receive the reward of obedience from him. Before I go too much further, I want Prophetess Crystal McQueen to go ahead and give us our announcement and lead us into our morning prayer. Prophetess.
Good morning, everybody. Once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're excited that you are here with us. This morning's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. Please visit our website. Amen. Get to learn more about myself and about Apostle McQueen and about Christ the King Redemptive Ministries in general. We would love to hear from you. Amen. Also, please pray about becoming a vision partner. Amen, a prayer partner, amen, and helping us to support not only this ministry, but the ministries that we cover overseas. Men and women of God are doing a mighty work in the Lord, and they not only need your prayers, but they need your financial support as well. And so we ask you, we plead to you and ask that you would help us to help them continue to do a mighty work in God and to fulfill and continuously fulfill their kingdom assignment in the world. Amen. If you would like myself or Apostle to come and minister, amen, at your church or for any type of ministerial engagement, we do ask, as you're on our website, www.ctkr.org, to click on the link for a prayer request or click on the contact tab, amen, for any prayer requests, any ministerial engagements, amen, any requests that you for prayer or anything like that. We ask that you would just give us as much information as you can. Send us an email letting us know what your requests are, especially when it comes to an invite, amen, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours, amen. Amen. Just also want to let you know that we do have a Facebook page, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, and Women of Prophetic Destiny have a Facebook page. We ask that you would go there and like us on the pages. Amen. Let us know what God is doing in your life. Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. I want to quickly get out the way so that the man of God could come and minister this life-changing word on behalf of the people of God. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus, Father, I ask you and I praise you, I glorify you. Father, I thank you for all that you have done, for this is the day that you have made. We're rejoicing and we are most glad in it. Father, we can't do anything without you. We need your presence. We need your power. We need your strength. As the apostle comes and ministers this word on this morning, we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you would breathe life, continuously to breathe life into this word. Breathe life in your people so that we can continue to run this race. God, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you would help us to become disciplined to your ways. God, help us to increase our faith so that we can continue to fulfill the kingdom assignment that you have on our lives. Now, Father, I even pray that someone is saved on this morning as they hear, or whatever time that they hear this message, that they will give their heart unto you, saying, what must I do to be saved? In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, we thank you for every sign, wonder, and miracle. We thank you for every spiritual son and daughter, amen, that is in the United States as well as overseas, that are continuously moving forward in the things of the kingdom. Strengthen them now. Strengthen their hands and their feet. Strengthen their spirit so that they continue to fight. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
And amen. Thank you for that awesome prayer. We are so happy that God has given us a first lady, amen, who is godly and can get a prayer through. Amen. This morning, we want to continue on with something that we have started before.
Mm-hmm.
There's, in the body of Christ, there is an attack that is going out. And I think that when we look at it, we recognize it, but I don't believe that people know what exactly to do with it, because it crosses the line of being a spiritual thing and being a medical or psychological anomaly. And what I'm mm-hmm. speaking of is when good things or good people have bad things happen to them. There's a number of different schools of thought concerning people taking their lives, and where should we as the body of Christ stand on it. I know that people look at how good a person is when they judge whether or not we should assess it as a sin, or is it a sin at all, or what excuse do we make for, how do we reconcile the information that we receive when we hear that someone that we know has taken their lives. And if we don't address this in the body of Christ, then people in the world take the forefront and begin to give us definitions and different things that they use in order to justify or to come to terms with, if you will, that simple situation where someone has died. Now, I'm not going to get into a lot of the psychological terms or anything like that. That's not my focus for this morning. I will encourage you all that before you pass judgment and before you run with your finger up in the air and, you know, you got your Bible up under your arm, you need to do some studying. You need to understand what happens when there's chemical imbalances mm-hmm. in this body. there are some people, some schools of thought where you don't use any medicine because you don't believe that God, you know, would have us do it. But God gave the doctor and the chemist and the biologist and those others in the medical field, gave them the capacity to understand this vessel. And if they know that you're not eating certain things or you're taking supplements or you're doing exercise or other things will help you to live a better quality of life, then take care of what they're telling you. Take care to do what they're telling you. You know, don't go to the doctor and after he tells you, you know what, you have you're having cholesterol problems and high blood pressure, and we need you to cut out certain meats and certain foods, and you, I ain't going to cut out nothing. God can heal me. Well, listen, God just healed you. He was trying to heal your mind too, amen, by telling you what will make this body work better. If they tell you to let it go, let it go. Stop fighting and learn how to be obedient. God didn't give them that knowledge and that information because they were wrong. He gave it to them so that they would know how to tell us how to do this right. I'm not telling you to follow any paganistic form of worship and other things that they may include into their holistic lifestyle, but there are some positive things that are duly noted that we need to be doing. Amen? And processed food and all the rest of this, we need to get away from that. We deal with all kind of other issues in life. Think about it like this. When President Obama got into the White House, one of the main things he wanted to do was get universal health care. It's not the first time that this has come up as an issue within the Democratic Party. If we go back, one of the main things that President Clinton was trying to do was get universal health care for everyone. His wife also was going to run with that agenda. We see that there was some things that President Bush put together. Obamacare, even as it is right now, is something that was modeled after Mitt Romney, the, you know, Republican candidate, a presidential candidate in the last election. It was modeled after what he did in his home state. You know, now what am I saying? I'm saying that as we begin to look at all of this, this is something that is a personal concern for all of us. But one of the things that President Obama did when he got in, his wife, First Lady Michelle Obama, began to look at childhood obesity. And when you begin to look at the patterns and the eating patterns and the other things that go on, they determine, and it has been documented, that the more that you do as a child in your weight, I guess you could say, not becoming obese, but refining your eating habits and your eating beliefs and food habits, the better your adult life is. You have less stresses upon your body. You don't have to deal with so many long-term chronic illnesses early. We have a spiritual son right now who's contacted us, and we've been in conversation with him, and he said, "Dad, I tell you, I need to do something about myself." So he went to look at his bariatric options so that he could be able to carry this gospel. It takes something to carry this gospel, amen. You need strength, energy, you need focus, amen. Now, with that said, when we come into these holiday seasons, a lot of people begin to indulge, not because it's the first chance that they get to eat, but because this time of year really brings home a lot of hurts. It brings home a lot of disappointments in life. It brings home a lot of other things. We have families that have not stood together but have separated, and this becomes stressful time for the children, becomes stressful time for the parents and the supporting family. So what people do is they begin to overindulge during this time of year. Mm-hmm. Amen. And as they overindulge, trying to pacify lack and want and need, what they do is they create other issues within their body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they can't overcompensate. They can't over-placate those needs and the loss or the absence. And that's where we get into the mental parts of
mm-hmm.
this. And that's where we start hearing that during this time of year, we'll see an increase in suicide. 15 years as a police officer, I could tell you that this is one of the higher times during the year where we see some of these things. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to be aware of that and stop, you know, running around like they just wasn't strong enough. Well, that was a coward's way out. Mm-hmm. That was weak. And start dealing with the fact that God left us here with power and authority. The Bible says that he gave his apostles, his disciples, power over all unclean spirits to cast them out and over all manner of sickness and disease. And you've heard me say this before. Sickness is in the mind. Disease is in the body. So when we're dealing with these things, we have to deal with the whole self. Amen.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, we have to deal with the whole self.
We have to deal with the whole self.
Yes, yes, we have to deal with the whole self. Stop trying to act like, you know, God can govern this part of your life, but the rest of it is on you. He wants all of you. He wants to take care of all of you. And in his plan, he's already prepared you to have exactly what you need. In your obedience to him, he's taking your mental health as well into consideration. So now when we start talking about mental health, we begin to speak on a certain area. Now, this is not your feet. It's not your legs. It's not your back, your arms. It's not your belly, your chest. It deals with your mind.
Mm.
See, when your mind is wrong, then your perception and things will be wrong, and you'll perceive something to be overwhelming where it may be nothing. And see, we have this saying, making a mountain out of a molehill, which basically says that this ain't nothing right here, and you've made it to be everything. What is it that is plaguing your mind that keeps you from being able to trust fully in God? What is the lie that the enemy has told you that you can't see the handiwork of God upon your life? I am reminded of the children of Israel. They are in the wilderness, 11 days journey they have gone about, and here they're about to go over into the promised land. Moses sends out 12 spies. And of the 12 spies, 10 of them came back and said, yeah, got everything that you said, but. And all they could see is that we are so small compared to how big they are. I remember the saying that they use as it is recorded, we are as grasshoppers in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have simply caught the revelation of those words, grasshoppers utterly decimate a land. When they come through in mass, they will strip every tree, every root of grass, everything. It will be green when they come. It'll be brown when they leave. See, you have to understand that even though they look at you as insignificant, the power of your potential is greater than what they are. But all they saw was how big they looked. Two of them stood, Caleb and Joshua said, we are well able to take the land. Let us rise up at once and go forward. And see, you have to understand that in the midst of all the fear, the anxiety, and everything else, there will always be a voice reminding you of what God's plan and purpose is for your life. Do not dismiss the plan. Amen? See, as we begin to look at those things, these people then begin to listen to the 10, and you start to have mass hysteria, mental anxiety concerning moving forward with what God said. And instead of believing God, they begin to believe a report. It's an interesting, it says, whose report shall you believe? And we always answer in that song saying, we shall believe the report of the Lord. See, you have to understand that scripture, that song, is the proper response. But when you're dealing with mental anxieties, whose report will you believe? I believe my perception. I believe what people are saying to me. I believe what I feel in my heart. And we have to allow healing to take place in our lives. Lord, help us today. I was going someplace else. My wife and them would tell you I have another scripture. But this is where the Spirit is leading me. We have to take hold of those things in our life that we're holding on. In this season, we've seen too many tragedies. We've heard too many negative reports. We've experienced too many things and seen too many things that we have to now in leadership, in the ecclesia, we have to begin to counsel and share. And we're finding out that as these things have come forward and we're beginning to counsel and share, we're finding out that these are not isolated incidents. We find out that there are many out there right now dealing with the same thing. One or two have stepped forward and said, I need help. Help me with this. I'm not talking about the laity. I'm talking about leadership. Leadership. When you are hurting, when you are dealing with things, and when you won't let the Holy Spirit heal you, you won't let somebody come and console you. And even after all the testimony, after all the praying, after all the fasting, after all the word, the consolation, after every type of encouragement has come, you still hold up and say, but you just don't understand how they hurt me. Listen, at some point, you have to allow yourself to release that. See, you can't release. You know, you can't get healed until you release. Well, I believe that if they were really men and women of God, then they would not have done this. They would not have said that. They would have, you know, I don't believe that they meant to do this. Listen, there's something that I remember, not Donald, but Garfield Kerlin said. And he said this. He said, think about how many times the devil uses you and you know it. You're supposed to shut your mouth. The Holy Spirit says, stand still. Don't say nothing. And in your flesh, you say, but they got to know who I am. I bet they won't do this again. Right. And you rattle off at the mouth. And then afterwards, the Holy Spirit says, didn't I tell you? And you get convicted, and now you're ready to go try to pull back all those words. You knew you weren't supposed to say something. And yet and still, your flesh got in the way of your following God, and you rattled off at the mouth. Now think about how many times you have said something inadvertently and caused damage. You've done something with the best intentions, and you have offended. Or you have caused other issues. See, every time something happens, it's not always because they meant to do you harm. Sometimes they feel that they want to help you out, or they're trying to help you to see something, but they don't know how to properly articulate it, or they don't know how to properly show you what they're trying to do or what they're trying to say. And what you find then is that you find that people who have good intentions but poor abilities to articulate them will cause hurt. You see? So now you're hurt and you're sitting there. And no matter how people come to console you and tell you, well, we know their heart, they really didn't mean like that. Yes, they did. They did mean it like that. And the longer you hold on to that, the longer that you let it fester on the inside of you, the hotter it gets. You know, a stew pot don't cool off quick. Amen. Mama, grandma, them had something there. when they used to put the pot on the stove and all night it had to sit there, and in the morning it was still warm. Amen. See, because that pot wasn't going to cool off. You're not throwing this in a refrigerator. But this microwave stuff, amen, that you heat up and in 3 minutes it's already cold. Amen. If it takes that long. See, that stuff cools off for a while. I mean, real quick. And that's how we have to learn how to do. The Bible says, take no offense in anything. In other words, there are things that are going to come in life. And when you see this thing come in life, you have the choice to take it in your heart and let it fester and become a stew pot that's going to take a while to cool off. Or you can let it hit you, heat you up, and let it go like a microwave. Done. I've learned how to let words hit me and fall right to the ground. People think at times that, I'm going to say something that's going to cut them. Well, you're not going to cut me. I have to allow you to cut me. And I don't feel like trying to be healed from a wound you decided you wanted to inflict. So I don't always take everything in, you know. No, it's not that I'm so great and so much wonderful there. I just refuse to allow you to make me mad. You know that saying, oh, they made me mad. I just can't allow you to make me anything. Whatever you trying to make me is where you think I should be. And I always have to be where God has called me to be. Amen, somebody. When you understand that, then you stop letting other people make you mad. Huh? Stop letting other people make you do anything. You got to answer to God. Amen. I wish somebody right now would catch that in their heart and in their mind. The Bible says very quickly, let's just go into a couple of scriptures here. You heard me read this before. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But the 12th verse says something, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And you have to understand that even though you're looking at people, your fight is not with the people. Look at your neighbor and say that. My fight is not with you.
My fight is not with you.
See, that's the thing, is that when we have people who are trying to do certain things, and it came from Sister Blue Shoes, huh? Brother Bitco over there said this, and he know good and well. He know I have a problem because when I was younger, he may not know all that, nor may he remember all of that when he's making his statement. But the enemy knows all of that. So while he's making a statement, you in the presence, and you think he's directing that at you, and really it's just a perceptional trick of the enemy. Understand, the enemy of your soul knows everything. Excuse me, everything about you. Amen?
Amen.
And because he knows everything about you, he knows your weaknesses. He knows your proclivities. He knows what you're apt to do put in a situation. So his job is to create perceptional truths. Huh? I was sharing with my wife earlier. I said, listen, if I was standing in front of her, no, I was standing to the side of her,
mm-hmm.
And I asked her, I said, do you remember when I used that example, standing next to her, I hit her on the shoulder, you know, just glancing past her like this. Mm-hmm. And I told those in the audience, I said, many of you right now will say that I just hit my wife. I said, and that is your perception. That is the truth of what you really believe. You really believe that I would hit my wife because you just saw that. Now, let me tell you what it was from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
There was a mosquito on my wife's shoulder, and I just killed a mosquito. Now, with that perception, I did what was proper in the situation. In your perception, I did something that was improper based on what you believe. I shouldn't hit my wife.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's the same action with different perspectives. And that's what the enemy likes to do. The enemy knows the truth of the matter.
But he tried to present it perceptionally to those who would carry it and respond to the perception. So that's why when he says here in the 12th verse, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, then we learn to stop fighting. Amen. I hope that's Jesus. Amen. We learn to stop fighting against flesh and blood. People are going to be there. They're going to do what they're going to do. But these people aren't doing things that are going to hinder you. They're not going to destroy you. They're not trying to take you out. Amen. You see that? Sometimes people don't even have you in their thoughts when they're doing what they're doing. But we take those things and make them personal. And really what you should be is more spiritually minded and focused, amen? Because the Bible goes on to say, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So here you are fighting. A fight that you don't even need to fight. Having an argument you don't even need to articulate. See, while you're trying to articulate the argument and validate the stance, the enemy's gone on to his next trick. You see that? We'll pick up the banner and begin to run with it. I know this is what it is. Look at it. This is not what God said for us to do. You see this? So we have to be very aware of the enemy's devices. Do what he's called you to do. You see this? New Living Translation, Ephesians 6 and 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. You see that? There are evil rulers and authorities that you don't even see that are governing what happens within this material world. I'm concerned that we have begun to fight against one another, and we forgot that this fight against one another has nothing to do with kingdom expansion, nothing to do with kingdom building.
Sure.
We're trying to get people to see it our way so we can build up the kingdom of I and, you know, when I saw it, I began to say within myself, because I'm a true man, a woman of, listen, get off your soapbox and begin to look at what's really happening here. We're doing so much with one another or against one another that we forgot that there is spiritual wickedness. There's evil rulers and authorities. And we felt, wait a minute, let's back off of that all the way. Of the unseen world. We forgot that there's an unseen world. So then if things are happening here and my perception can be skewed based on things that I don't know about, before I quickly take it to heart, I should pray and ask the Holy Spirit for clarity. See, there's a reason why he said, bless. You see that? Romans 12, 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. It's because he knows that sometimes things are going on and you cursing somebody that God blessed, and it's not going to work, first of all. Second of all, it keeps you from coming together as a body. Because you perceive that this person is against you instead of for you. Disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, there's some disciples or some people over there using your name to cast out devils. We need to go over there. He said, hey, leave them alone. Because if they're not against us, they're for us. Howbeit, there are some that do not come from this fold, from this fold. They're not from this, but they are part of us. So when I see something, I'm not supposed to take it in and respond to it wrong, am I? No, I'm supposed to pray for them, bless them, and attack the unseen. Amen? Look at your neighbor and ask them, where's your prayers going?
Where's your prayer going?
Huh? Ask them, where's your prayer going?
Where is your prayer going?
I know that's right. You need to ask that question because we're praying all the wrong stuff. Lord, I pray right now that this stuff just fall to the ground. Kill it all, Lord. Curse it at the root in the name of Jesus. Wait a minute, hold on. That prayer ain't going nowhere, and you need to stop praying it. You get in this word, you'll learn that you're not supposed to be praying that prayer. Amen? But he said he make my enemies be my footstool. Yes, that's right. He will make your enemies be your footstool. But you first of all have to identify who the enemy is. Mm. You see that? So while you're trying to put every flesh and blood up under there, you need to be against some powers and against some rulers of the darkness of this age. You understand? Yeah. Against some spiritual hopes of wickedness in heavenly places. And while we're dealing with that, make sure that you're praying for their mind. Oh, I haven't forgot about that mental thing right there. See, all of this right here goes right back to how we deal with these situations in this day and this time. Sermon I preached, get your armor on, deals with all of this. And as we begin to go through there, we have to understand that your mind is the place where the enemy attacks you. And when he's attacking you, then you can't think right, so you don't pray right. You see that?
That's true.
Even when God is speaking to you, you can't hear him because you can't understand what he's saying. There's the strong man, if you will, is your mind. Amen? Look what it says in Luke 11:21-26. It says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. Or in other words, when your mind is fully armed, when you have on the helmet of salvation, when you have on the full armor of God, then you guard your mind based on your belief in God, amen? You base it on your salvation, the forgiveness of your sins. And then that means that the enemy can't come and try to get you off a point telling you what you did back before you asked for forgiveness. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, amen?
Amen.
You see that? So it means when the enemy comes trying to tell me who I was and what I did, I can tell him, listen, I have on the helmet of salvation, and I know you just come to attack my mind with guilt. I know you just came to attack my mind with shame. I know you just came to attack my mind with my past and my shortcomings and my inabilities to step up to the plate and make it work. But I know who I am now. The blood has covered me. My righteousness is not of my own, it's of Jesus. You see that? I am justified by faith, and that in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to worry about what you're saying. My mind is guarded because I understand the source and the foundation of my salvation is Jesus, his blood shed for me, his payment of my sin debt. You understand? I can stand up now, and no matter what you say and how you bring it to me, I know I'm covered.
Yes.
So when he says, when a strong man fully armed, how am I armed? With the knowledge that I can't fail because he's already called me to be successful. When I'm fully armed, I guard my own palace, guards his own palace. I take note of myself. I guard my vessel. I guard my environment. You understand? And look what it says. His goods are in peace. Everything that I hold dear is kept in the proper state. Peace. 22nd verse says, but when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes him from all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Lord Jesus, this will preach today. How can the enemy get at me? I stop trusting in the things that he's given me. The whole armor of God is given to me so that I can stand. But when I stop trusting in my armor, I begin to take off pieces of it. And the pieces I take off make me vulnerable to the enemy's attack. Isn't it interesting that we have those who are in leadership? I posted something on social media that says, I'm concerned that we are in leadership. We're taking time to fight the battles or present the battles that the enemy's trying to present. Listen, if you are an apostle, a bishop, a prophetess, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, you're supposed to bring peace to the body. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And stop walking around with your big shoes talking about whatever I want to say because I am an apostle. I am a bishop. There's a responsibility that comes with that office. See, we have to keep the integrity of the gospel. We have to keep the integrity of the offices that we carry. You see that? Huh? And when we begin to trust in ourselves, then we stop trusting in God. And when we stop trusting in God, then we start trusting in our ability to speak slick or to put three witty points together. I said it before, I'll say it again. We have replaced in the pulpit pastors and those who should be there behind the sacred desk with motivational speakers and life coaches. We left the power of Jesus Christ and began to take on all kind of psychological titles and things, and we become those who have PhDs and all the rest of it instead of THDs. See, we come with our philosophical mentality, and because it sounds deep and wonderful and Dr. Phillish, people grab hold of it and says, I like that. Oh, I'm going to use that. I'm going to post that as my new saying on my, that's going to be my new timeline. That's going to be my new quote. That's going to be my new tweet. But guess what? We need to be tweeting the word of God because it is the word of God that has the power to deliver. It's the word of God that has the power to keep. It is the word of God that has the power to sustain. So we take off the helmet. We drop the shield of faith. We stop wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We put on a good-looking hat and put on a brightly shined-up, vest, and everything else. And then instead of having a sword of the Spirit, we get the sword of the books of my library where I have my self-help. Because I love those books. They're just full of so much wonderful stuff. Brother, sister, let's get back to the Word of God. See, it's the preaching of the gospel that has the power to deliver. All that self-help, you're dealing with people who had issues, who found that if I just did this or I did that, that would help me. But that didn't do anything for your salvation. And the problem that you're having is you're trying to placate a sin issue where the blood already worked. So what happens when we drop it? But when a stronger than he comes upon him, because they're coming, and overcomes him, that means you don't know enough of your word. That means you don't have faith in your armor. You don't have faith in your salvation. You don't have faith in God. You see that? It goes on and says he takes from him all his armor. All you got to do is take off the helmet of salvation. He'll shoot you on your head, and as you fall to the ground, he'll take the rest of your armor from you. You see that? Mm-hmm. In which he trusted and divides his spoils. I'm trusting God. Yet and still, I don't like this, that, and other. I ain't even going to church no more. So now here you're not going to church no more, forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Now you're vulnerable to the enemy because instead of being a cohesive unit in the army of the Lord, you're an army of one, and you're outgunned, you're outnumbered, you're outflanked, you're overwhelmed, and now you don't even have armor. You see that? Now you're watching your family go through. Now you're watching your relationship go through. You're having trouble at work. Your income and your finances are, your funny starting to look, your money starting to look a little funny. Stuff breaking down and see, you got to understand salvation covers more than just your soul. You see that? 21st verse, guards his own palace. It's everything that is connected to you. My family, my finances, my work, my employment, everything about me is covered by my salvation. And as I look back at this, thank you, Holy Spirit, when I got saved and they said, you know, once you get saved, everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. They knew that as I began to grow in him, that I put more trust in him, mm-hmm. and he would give me a greater control over my palace, knowing that I was going to keep it. Because the more I trusted him, the larger he told me to expand my tent pegs. So my tent became larger. You see that? And he keeps it all as I trust in him. Let's go on and finish reading this. 23rd verse, but he who is not with me is against me. You see that? And he who does not gather with me scatters. Mm-hmm. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. That means that, and I've said this before, Prophetess and I, as we are in ministry, we will talk to you, we will counsel with you, and make sure that you understand that this demon, this demonic influence, this demonic inhabitation is going to end. But if you are not ready, protecting yourself with the full armor of God, that demon is coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to come back trying to get back in. And it's the simple thing, that little window that you left open, thinking that he wasn't going to come in there. Mm-hmm. He remembered when he was in the house that window was open. Mm-hmm. It's that little door that you leave unlocked, you know, so you don't have to remember your key. See, when he was in there, he remembers that you left that little door unlocked, and he's coming back to that door. Mm-hmm. See, y'all think that because he got kicked out that he's going to come back to the front door. No, he's going around back. He's going to try to climb up the chimney and go in the second floor window that you always keep unlocked in the bathroom. See, he knows exactly how to get back in the house because he was in there to begin with. You see this? So now the enemy tells you there's no problem with you looking at that. There's no problem with you going over here. There's no problem with you having that conversation. It's no problem if you've been involved in that. He knows that that is the window. That's the door. That's the little trick to get in. That's that basement window that you have that's been broken out that you haven't fixed. You've been getting around to it, but all you did was put cardboard up there. And when he comes, he's kicking the cardboard in. He's lifting up the window. He's going into that door, and he's coming in, not by himself. The Bible says here, it says, when he goes out, he comes back. Huh? He sees it swept and put in order. The Bible says, 26th verse, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. See, you kicked me out the first time. But to make sure I can stay, I'm bringing seven worse than me. You see that? Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that they enter and dwell there. They didn't say they come run through there. It says they came to dwell. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So before we just lay hands on people and cast it out, let's make sure you want it out.
I know that's right.
Mm-hmm. See, because while we're working to get you free and get your mind free and help you to put on the armor, help you to dress yourself up in the garments of light, the garments of joy, amen, and we're going to be preaching on that because some of y'all just simply need to change your clothes. When we begin to preach on that and teach you, then you need to learn that when you change your clothes and you put on your armor, you guard your palace.
Stop letting anything that used to be there come back in there.
Yes, sir.
Some stuff that you have to tell, hey, listen, I remember that song that they used to sing. I moved from my old heart, I moved from my old place, and I moved from my old way of living. Thank God I moved to my brand new house. Mm. See, I know I might have some of those words wrong, amen, but you know the song, amen. And when we say that, then we have to really take that to heart. I moved to a brand new house. I left the old stuff in the old house. Listen, I heard somebody say it like this. They said, when you get riches and everything, you don't bring your old shanty to your rich new dwelling. You need a shanty and everything in it. See, if I was living in a roach infested, rat infested, mites and everything else running all up and through here, then I wouldn't want to bring this to my new mansion when somebody said, I see how you're living, and I'm leaving this to you. They die, I go to the reading of the will, and they gave me their will so I could live in that. I'm not going to pack up the rats, the roaches, and the mice. So how are you going to get saved and bring all the world stuff up in here? We're talking about mental deficiencies, aren't we? Because a strong mind would understand that I can leave the world with the world. What happens when you bring the world to where you are? Then you find that your life is hard to live because the enemy constantly is trying to get you to live where you were. I remember hearing something. Young people are so interesting. One young man said, you know, if I ever make it big, he lived in the projects back in Ohio. But he said, if I ever make it big, I ain't going to move out from where I am. I want to, you know, I'm going to stay here, get back to the community because I'm going to be true to who I am. And one of the other guys said, man, you stupid. He said, I'm just being 100. He said, nah, you stupid. Listen, if you had the means to get out of this right here, you telling me you wouldn't leave this and go to better? But you would try to be the best here that you could be? See, the problem with that is that as you stay around that mentality, you begin to mirror that mentality greater with greater resources. There's I probably shouldn't use this term, but I'm going to give it to you. Please put a filter on it in your hearing so you can hear what I'm saying and what you think I'm saying. There is a term that the young people use called ratchet. And that term ratchet simply means that you overdo everything, but you overdo it in the wrong way. Amen. You don't have no hair today and tomorrow. You got hair down to your thighs, down to your calves. You know, you just overdo it. And that's what the enemy calls you to do when you sit back thinking that you're going to take the gift of God, his grace, and you're going to do something great with it back in his arena. When God calls you out of it, come out of it. Don't be trying, I'm going back right in the world because I want other people. Well, you go back in there. Strengthen yourself. Now, there's no problem with you going and making it big and then coming back with resources to help the people. But don't stay there living with the people. I'm trying to help somebody today. Lord. When we change our mind and change our mentality, then we begin to see everything that God has said to us clearer. We begin to trust greater in him, trust in his assignment for us. We stop fighting one another. And greater than that, we stop fighting ourselves. Bring this back full circle.
The reason why some of us fight ourselves is because we refuse to deal with the fact that God called us. God gave us an assignment. We refuse to deal with the assignment. We refuse to deal with anything that means that we have to change or we have to mature or we have to go through a matriculation process. We refuse to deal with those things that say that I don't have to be like this anymore, but I got to do something so I don't have to be like this anymore. When the enemy of your soul comes in, he comes in as the strong man, and he comes in stronger than you when you refuse to put on the whole armor. Overcomes you. This season, this time of year, make sure that you're not being overcome by the enemy. Go to the man, the woman of God. Go to them and sit down and talk with them and lay everything out on the table. Get it out so the enemy has no place to hide. And let the prayers of the righteous avail much in your life and on your behalf. Amen. We don't need to hear any more reports. That being said, I know we're going to hear more reports. Certain people say, well, you just don't understand. And I'm not trying to understand. Really, it's not about understanding. You can't understand foolishness. Because if you begin to understand it, it's because your mind is where it is. Amen. We need to hold up a standard and walk, but uplift one another. And when we start seeing mental deficiencies and issues, pray for their minds. Stop fighting a person and pray for the spiritual realm in the world unseen so that we can all live a better quality of life. This is what God is calling us to. Amen? Amen. Prophetess, if you would give us our closing prayer.
Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for this word of life. Father, we thank you that this word is bringing deliverance right now, that it's bringing clarity, that it's bringing us into alignment, that it is pulling us up out of the valleys of Lodabar, God, and putting us on the street called straight. God, I thank you right now that this word is challenging us and changing us and shifting us and shaking us into your image and your likeness. Father, right now in Jesus' name, take off the stop or unstop our spiritual ears and let us really hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. God, begin to move as you know how to move in your power and your grace. We say yes to your will. We say yes to your way. And whatever you want to do in us, we obey. We thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Listen, thank you for that prayer. I pray that you would go to our website, www.ctkr.org, www.ctkr.org. Become a vision partner with us. Thank God Bishop Joe Shiendu has had his graduation over at the orphanage. Bishop Wandera David is beginning to put together his party and his fellowship that he does for the vulnerable children and the orphans and the widows. They're beginning the process. They're not just beginning, but they're in the forming stages of how many people will come. And I would tell you that 200 to 500 people over the past 2-3 years have come to these events, and they need help with the finances for it. They ask us to help both Bishop Shiendu and Bishop Wandera for their event, and we're asking you to help us to be a blessing to them. When you are a vision partner, we will send you correspondence and updates and let you know what it is that God is doing. You will know that your financial gift has gone to a worthy cause, and we'll keep you updated on that. And if you would like to donate to this ministry, do so.
We know that God is going to bless you for everything that you do. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and it is our duty to remind you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.